Glad to see everybody this evening. Everybody have a pretty good day. All right. Well, this is the third Wednesday of September. This is our youth service. I'm excited about it. God's given us another one. I've got a couple of announcements to make that I want to go over before we get started. Kim Gassett's mother fell today and broke her arm. And she is going to be having surgery tomorrow. Also, little Colin is back in the hospital again. So we're definitely going to keep his family lifted in prayer. And on a different note, just to throw this out there, if you are in the youth choir, and you're in the youth choir, just remember, youth choir, Sunday, 4 p.m., if you're in the youth choir, we're going to practice. Miss Sunday's going to be here. If you can be here, we strongly encourage you to be a part of it. And what we're going to do, because of the way this is all organized out today, I'm going to go ahead and open this up in prayer, and then we're going to get started with some really good singing. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today. God, we thank you for the chance to meet in your house. Lord, we pray for the Sowerby family. Father, we pray for your hand over that family. God, we pray for Miss Kim's mother, that surgery go smoothly. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit be present here today. God, we pray that there's someone in this audience, Father, that's not saved, that today would be that day that they are. Lord, we thank you for all these things that you provided. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you be with this service. And Lord, I ask that you speak through me. It's the name of Jesus that I pray, God. Amen. We're going to get started with some good music. Are you guys ready? No? All right.
That you would bear my cross. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
To you alone.
my joy to say, your will, your way, it will be my joy to say, your will, your way, it will be my joy to say, your will, your way, always. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way, it will be my joy to say, your will, your way, it will be my joy to say, your will, your way, always. I lay me down, I'm not my own, I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down.
This time I'd like some of our youth boys to come up. We're going to take up the offering. I'd like to ask Jacob if he would pray up.
Moment of my life. Can we stop? Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't get the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Sarah, that was a good song. That was a great job. Very good job. All right, do you guys remember what I told you that we'd be talking about? You remember what book I told you to read, right? Jonah. Well, we got one of the teachers over here. She remembers. All right. Jonah. How many chapters were in Jonah?
Four.
Who read it? Raise your hand. It's okay to raise your hand in here. One, two, three, four. Well, there's some people that read it anyway. Name of this lesson is Christians aren't defined by their circumstances. And to elaborate a little bit, what I want to tell you is just because you find yourself in a nasty situation or a bad spot, that doesn't mean that it's over. In fact, it's probably just beginning. Lost my page here. Just one moment and I'll be there. I'm there. Christians aren't defined by their circumstances. And if you read the book of Jonah, if you know anything about it, Jonah was in some really, really strange spots, especially in what's recorded here in the book. In the beginning, if we read Jonah 1, the very first part, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare therefore, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, one thing you'll notice about verse 3, it says Tarshish three times. That's very hard for me to say. In this situation, Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. God gave him instruction. And in Jonah's mind, the right thing to do was run. In fact, from where Jonah was located unto Nineveh, I don't know how far as miles were, but I'm going to illustrate for you with my hands. Here's Jonah. Here's Nineveh. All right. Way over here is Tarshish. All right. It's 10 times the distance. I guess Jonah knew that he did not like the Lord's instruction. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to do that at all. In fact, he wanted to do the exact opposite, which was run. He wanted to run bad enough to the point that he went to Joppa, hired a boat or a charter, however you want to say it, to take him somewhere else. He decided to flee from the Lord and also flee from God's instruction. But Jonah didn't count on one thing. God knows how to ride in a boat too. All right, the very one in the same book that talks about the God that created the waters and the dry land. If we move on down and we read a little farther, we find out, and I'm sure some of you guys are familiar, that Jonah gets himself in trouble. He's off somewhere else. He's not where he should be. When you get there, you end up, let's describe it like this. When you don't like what is coming your way. Well, Jonah goes down in this boat, and he's asleep in the bottom or the side of the boat. And the men that are on top of the boat, that are running things, you know, again, Jonah just paid his money to ride on the boat, not operate it. A big storm comes up. When the storm comes up, it's rough. It's hard. And the men on the boat begin to recognize quickly that this is more than just a storm. They begin throwing things overboard so the boat would be lighter. I don't know. Do you guys know what a bilge pump is? Do you know what a bilge pump is? Who knows what a bilge pump is? Okay. A bilge pump is a part of a boat that when it fills up with water, it pumps the water back out. Well, in this time, they didn't have a bilge pump. They had a bucket. It's similar to a bilge pump. When they start filling up, they got to go from the bottom of the boat to the top of the boat, pitch it out. It's panic time for them. So the men get together and they say among themselves, why has this come about us? And they even say to the point, pray to your God that we be spared. But why is this happening? And they remember that Jonah's in the side of the boat asleep. So they go down to Jonah and they say, hey man, hey, get up. It's getting nasty. It's bad. Do you know anything about this? And of course Jonah does. Right now, Jonah's letting it run through his mind. He knows where he's going. He knows who he's running from. It's what do you do when you don't like what's coming your way? I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 8. It says, they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. It's panic time again. Waves coming in fast. Don't know what to do. And sometimes that happens in our life. The waves are coming in fast, and you don't exactly know what to do, so they run to Jonah. But Jonah tells them, clearly, it's my fault that these waves are coming, because I'm running from God. And the men have compassion on him. They decide, you know, if we're going to survive, because those men valued their life more than they did Jonah's, we're going to row close to shore, pitch him overboard. Maybe he'll have a chance to get to land. But when they attempt, they try to go towards land. Storm won't let them do it. So they decide that we're just going to have to throw him out right here. We're going to have to pitch him out. I don't even believe Jonah resisted the men, because he knew this is what was coming. So they picked him up. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be floating in the ocean? Have you ever had a spooky dream where you're floating in the water and there's nothing around but just the water and you? How many of you can swim? Raise your hand. It's all right. Can you swim? Good job. All right. Can any of you not swim? All right. We got one that can't swim. We're going to work on that. Imagine floating in the ocean, because the ocean's not flat like a lake. You know what I'm saying? The waves are big. The waves are big. And Jonah's panicking on the inside. He knows that it's bad time. Now, remember that story, because now I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me this week. Something that's very, very important. There's a man that I've became friends with here recently. And he has a company or a business over in Hiram. Thought it would be a good idea to go visit him. So Monday morning, I got up. I did my normal routine. I went to him. We were talking about the Lord. It was him and one of his helpers. We were in his shop. We were having a good time. And we were talking about how normal we really are. There's nothing really special about him or I. We're just sinners saved by God's grace, covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that there's not really much more to make it complicated. We were just simple, because we're simple people. And it got to the point where we're really having good fellowship back and forth. I mean, it was really going well. The spirits were ministering back and forth to one another, and we were having a good time. So we went to his office and sat down to carry this on. And he said, hey, I've got a couple of buddies that are going to be coming by later. And sometimes they give me a hard time about being a Christian. Do you mind hanging around? I thought, well, sure, I can't abandon him. I'll stay here. I'll wait. And then he stopped me and he said, I'm warning you, they like this opportunity. And I thought, uh-oh, this might be a little bit different. They're after me a little bit. And see, I could sympathize with Jonah just a little bit. He wanted to run. Well, I'm not going to lie, I wanted to run too. Because I knew when they got there, it was going to be different. It wasn't 5 minutes. I heard a car pull up in the parking lot. Door opened up. Here comes a man. Seemed like a nice man. He come in the office. Now, this office is probably 12 by 12. And he comes in and he sits down. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Hi, I'm Alan. How are you? Seemed like a nice guy. We're sitting there talking. 5 minutes go by. I hear another car door shut. This must be guy number two. So here he comes. Walks into the office. Has a seat. That 12 by 12 office just shrunk up to about 8 by 8. And I'm starting to feel a little claustrophobic in there. We're close. And as soon as that other guy got there, the first guy that walked in jumped right out of the gate on me. What do you think about the decision of a woman that made a decision that may get her fired because of her faith? And I said, well, I suppose that, you know, she's following what the Lord's telling her to do. That's a good decision, right? Lord's telling her to do something. It's a good decision. Good, let's go with that. Yeah, it's a good decision. Don't you agree? No, he didn't agree. He didn't agree. He was the exact opposite, actually. He told me every reason why I was wrong, and he was right. So the 8x8 office just got about 4x4. And we're in there like this. And I noticed that they kept getting farther from me. Just a little bit. And I'm praying, Lord, I don't know what to say exactly. Lord, give me the words. And I noticed they kept spreading out from me. I couldn't figure it out. And I realized I had taken my pocket knife out of my pocket and was opening it and shutting it. I guess subconsciously I was nervous. Well, I knew I was nervous. There's no subconscious. So I thought, at that time I'm praying, Lord, give me some space. I don't want to be in this situation. They're on me. By this time, they'd already give me the reason why the Ten Commandments should not be on the wall in the courthouse. They'd give me the reason when God was put into the national anthem. They give me the Pledge of Allegiance. They give me every reason in the world, and they told me that America was not founded on Christian values, that there were people that were fleeing religion. And of course, I disagreed. And I did it peacefully. And I said, people weren't fleeing the Lord. They were fleeing persecution where they could worship freely. Here. Because America is a gift. It is a gift. And they did not agree with me. And I'm praying, Lord, get me. I don't like this. I want a way. I didn't realize I was playing in my pocket knife. The men backed up. I step outside. They go out into the shop. Yes, God answered my prayer. I walk out into the shop with them. It wasn't over. In fact, that was the beginning. I wish that was all it was. And that's where I'm at. That's where Jonah's at. He's out of the boat. It's bad. Who knows the story of what happens next? God had prepared a fish to come get Jonah. And it did. Now, who remembers the story Pinocchio from Disney? Take all the comparisons that you think are right and go ahead and scratch them off the board. It's not a big open area. Pinocchio can't build a fire. Neither can Jonah. It's not like that. There's not a light in there. You can't see anything. It is a fish. The way a fish's belly works is very strange. It's like a tube sock. You stretch it tight like this, and it stays like that. But if you put something in it, it'll swell up where that spot is, but the rest of it's still tight. So Jonah's not sitting in there like this. No. Jonah's laying down with the sides of him touching that fish's stomach. Does that seem scary? Seems scary to me. And as time goes on, Jonah starts to worry and sweat. In fact, he gets panicky. He's given up. And he begins to pray to the point that he's almost given up. In fact, now Jonah realizes that he is going to have to endure the correction for his error. His error was running from God. Now he's going to have to endure this portion of it. He's not sure he can survive it. In fact, he's given up hope. Hope is going away. Jonah was so deep that he thought that the Lord wouldn't even be able to hear him. Jonah chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says, "The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed around me about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God." I'm going to go back to the fish stomach thing again. It's kind of gross. When a fish eats, if there's fish here and it's going to eat those fish, it jumps on those fish and it opens the front of the stomach. And everything, the water, the weeds, everything runs into the stomach. And then the front shuts. And all that stuff is in there. And then slowly, it lets the water back out of the front of the stomach. Until there's nothing left but the grass or the plankton or the fish that it was trying to eat. And then it just tumbles them around until it digests the food. Jonah's in there with it. You know, so when it says the weeds were around my head, he meant that literally. The seaweed that's in the ocean is on me. It's wrapped around my head. It compassed me with waters. And when all that comes back out, I'm back in this fish's belly again. I imagine there was a nasty odor. It was probably rough. And Jonah prayed. He said, "When my soul fainted with me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer come in unto thee, into thine holy temple." God didn't forget about him. He'd have gotten to the point where Jonah gave up, but the Lord didn't. Go back to my story. I'm outside with two guys that are both considerable amount bigger than me. Evidently, a knife is enough to get me some room. And we're talking. And I'm praying, "Lord, what is it that they're missing? Why am I here? I don't understand. I come here to be a friend. And then this is what's come about. What do I do?" And he told me, he said, "Just tell them the truth. Just tell them the truth." So I began to tell them the truth. I was, you know, "For God so loved the world." Started there. I was like, "It's a blessing that we live in this nation." Then he started in, "Well, this is why we don't need God in schools." And I said, "Well, this is exactly why we need God in schools." And he said, "We don't need God in marriage." And I said, "This is exactly why we need God in marriage." And it went on and on and on. And I could figure out really quickly that neither one of these men were going to be changed by anything that I said. And I got to where I was angry on the inside because I wasn't making any headway. But the problem was I had put my opinion in there with it. I'd put my opinion of what he thought instead of just telling them the truth like it was. And I struggled with it. In fact, it got to the point where I was so mad that I had trouble keeping my own thoughts together, much less deciphering what he's telling me. Back to Jonah. Jonah, God delivers Jonah to dry land. Do you remember that? God puts Jonah out on dry land. Do you think Jonah's happy to be on dry land? If I spent 3 days in a fish's belly, I'd be excited. And I would probably never eat fish again. So Jonah's got a different mindset now. All right, Lord, you spared me. you've saved me. I'm going straight to Nineveh right now. I'm on the way. See, he was trying to look for the path that God had provided. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And when he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Even the king of Nineveh took his jacket off, took his robe off, and sat it down. They put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. They repented for what they'd done wrong. They were afraid of what God was going to do. That's what I wanted those other guys to see, is that God is merciful and that God loved them. But they couldn't just reject God openly and expect there to be any kind of, there was no hope like that. So it got to the point to where I was becoming very tired of the conversation. And I asked one of the young guys, or the younger guy, I said, "Hey," I asked him a question, I said, "Well, do you believe or not?" And he said, "I'm a good man." He said, "If I stand in front of God and I'm good to my wife and I'm good to my children and I'm loyal to them, if that's not good enough, I don't want anything to do with your God." Heartbreak, anger, all those things come up about. How many of you cringe a little bit when I said that? Think about that. If that's not good enough, I don't want anything to do with your God. Well, I told him, I said, "Let me fill you in. That's not good enough." I said, "You've got to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. You can't be good enough to get in there. It don't matter how good you are on this earth. It's not good enough." I told him the whole thing. He didn't too much care to hear it. So I looked at the other one. He hadn't said anything in a while. He was getting farther away. This is what he said. I asked him the one last question. I said, "Man," I said, "you've bad-mouthed Christianity, Jesus, God, everything I've told you from the time I got here. I said, do you believe that the world is a better place because of Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Actually, I believe it's worse." That was the tipping point for me. I knew we were done. And then they turned around and invited me to lunch. And I thought, I've got one utensil on me and it's sharp. And I'm playing with it. And you want to sit down at a table with me where I have 5 utensils? Somebody's going to get stabbed. We can't eat together. So I told him, "No, thank you." I said, "I appreciate the offer. I can't do it." I set out in order to help a friend and ended up angry. But here's why. I asked God what to do. He told me to tell him the truth. And I did. But I did more than that. I put my opinion in there. I covered it up with, I got angry on the inside because they weren't responsive to what I said. So I'm mad. Back to Jonah. Jonah goes straight to Nineveh, just like God had asked him to do. Jonah delivers the message, the clear message. Those people repent. The people here, they repent. And because of the merciful God that we serve, God decided that he was not going to punish those people, that they were spared completely. Now Jonah's upset. "What do you mean? You mean I come all the way out here and I delivered the message that you had me deliver and now you're going to spare them? Does that seem strange? It seems like Jonah had a short-term memory. Now keep in mind that I had read this before I had went to the mechanic shop. This was the message I was preparing for today. This was Monday. I'm reading this story. And here I am angry at these men to my core. I was so mad on my way home. Have you ever been mad enough that you don't talk to anybody? I was so mad I wouldn't even talk to myself. On the way home, I was just quiet. Turn the radio off. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm just driving. Jonah had forgotten the mercy that God showed him. These people repented. Jonah didn't like these people. Jonah wasn't happy with it at all. Jonah had forgotten the whole fish story. Evidently, the smell had worn off. But God asked Jonah a question. Chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" That's a question. Does it do you any good to be angry? And you know, sometimes when we get asked questions instead of demands, somebody, we stop and we think just for a moment. Sometimes it's just that pause that keeps our mouth shut. Because I just got through walking around a couple of men that I didn't care for like this. So I didn't say more. Because I really wanted to tell them what I thought about it. I wanted to just pour it out there and tell them all the stuff that you've done. The world is in the shape that it is right now because of men like you that won't bow to a God like him. You won't bow. It's all about you. But that wasn't my place. God asked the question, "Jonah, doest thou well to be angry?" Now, Jonah's position was, "I've come all the way out here and done this right here, and you said that it come, that they had come before you, that you were gonna, and you're sparing them, you're taking care of it." Well, I get home, jump in storage again, and I grab my chair out of the living room, and I go to the front porch and I unfold it onto the front porch, still angry. I grab this book. I grab this folder. Still angry. I grab my pen and I run out to the front porch. I sit down. And I very, very quickly say, "God, help me write this message. I want you to speak through me." It was very quick. And usually my little Jack Russell Terrier is trying to get in my lap. Evidently he recognized that I wasn't right because he wouldn't even get close. He sat over at the corner of the porch and looked at me. Just shook his head. He knew something's wrong with him. And soon as I dug into that scripture, soon as I got into that scripture, "Does it do you any good to be angry?" And I thought, man, God's speaking to me. God's talking to me right now. He's letting me know. And then these words rang from a preacher that I heard say this. He said, "If you do your part, God will do his." And I thought, well, Lord, they didn't change. But I can't expect somebody that just got through hearing a message to change immediately. I had done what God asked me to do. And because the results weren't right there, I was angry about it. And because they were constantly challenging me and constantly putting me down, I was fed up. I was tired. I wanted to tell them what I thought about it. I didn't care if I ever seen them again. You ever been there? You ever been where you didn't? You been that mad? Again, I wouldn't even speak to myself. And the truth about it is, the only right way is when it's led by the Lord. See, I went out there to these men when it got time to talk to somebody on the Lord's behalf. I put myself in front of him, just like Jonah did. Jonah come out here probably saying, "Hey, just letting you guys know in just a little bit, it's over. 40 days, it's gone. Just letting you know. Jonah got angry. He went all the way to the east side of the city and sat down and watched and pouted. God, why are you not tearing it up? Why is the city still up there? Destroy it. I'm sitting on my front porch mad at two men that I let get all, they were living rent free up here. I'm mad at them guys because they didn't change right then. And the thing about it was, I had done what the Lord asked me to do. I can't save them. I can't save people. I can't do it. There was nothing that I was going to do to save them. The Holy Spirit has to speak to them men for them men to change. That's not me. All I was supposed to do was do exactly what God said. Deliver the truth. Deliver the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. Just tell them. But I got involved. My opinion got there, just like Jonah's. I should have trusted God all the way into that meeting, all the way through it, all the way out. Because of it, I had to suffer through an afternoon of anger. And my serious, serious concern is, what if I said something that will affect them the rest of their life in a negative way? What if some of that harsh statement that I said? Because see, it's not about us. That's what God told Jonah. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And when we put ourselves in front of it, sometimes we get in the way of the Lord. And he's not going to work with you standing in front of him. He will have to move you out of the way. Being obedient does not mean that you have to smell like fish and seaweed. You don't have to run. We can be obedient. We can ask God for help, and when he gives it to us, that be good enough to not get in front. And I said all this to come to this last little bit. When we trust the Lord to save our souls, we can trust the Lord to lead our lives. He's good enough to do all of it. He'll speak through us. He'll speak to us. And we don't have to make the decisions for him. He can do it. He's got it. Now tonight, pardon me. Now tonight, where's Savannah? Savannah's going to come up and sing a song for us. But if God is speaking to you, you got to understand, for all these things to happen, for the relationship with the Lord that you've got to have, for him to speak through you and to speak to you and to be obedient, you have to know him first. You have to have that relationship. I don't think these two men that I was speaking to did. I was called to tell them the truth. Men and women, boys and girls, in order to receive salvation, must be saved. Your sins must be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about how good or how bad you can do, or standing in front of a man, or standing in front of a woman and telling them what you think. It's about what God gives you. It's about the truth. And if God spoke to you tonight, and you want an opportunity to come to the altar, they're going to sing for us. And you can. If you want to be saved, if you're not saved and the Lord is speaking to you and you want God to save your soul, you can do that too. Please, if you're unsure, please don't wait. We're thankful for the time that we get. But we're not guaranteed forever. You don't know when it's going to be over. You don't know when that door is going to shut. Thank you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, ladies, very much. Pastor Joe Holcomb's got some announcements. He's going to come up and bring us. Joe, you want to go ahead and come up?
Let's give Alan a big hand. He did a great job tonight, didn't he? You know, sometimes the Lord, he's given me illustrations in my life very similar to where he would make something very real to me. And I think that's very important. And it's an example that the Holy Spirit's working in your life. I want to tell y'all youth this morning, or this evening, isn't it evening? Yeah. I still have jet lag. You know what that, y'all don't know what jet lag is, but you'll get it one day. But you get out of, it's far enough away from here, you can't tell what day it is. But I want to tell y'all how important y'all are to me and to the church. I mean, God has blessed us to have you here with us. And you are not children, you are not kids. Y'all get tired of being called kids. Y'all are young adults. And you're very important. And you're growing, and you have opinions, and you have feelings. And the fact that you choose to come to church here on Wednesday night, and the way this youth group is growing, it's just an overwhelming blessing to me, and I want you to know that. And I want you to know that you have my support, and I will do anything that I can do as a pastor to support you. But I think your youth leaders, they want to support you too. They put forth a lot of effort. So let's give them a big hand too. Amen. Y'all know that Colin is very sick. And we need to pray for Colin. He's in the hospital and things are not looking good for him. His family's facing some very tough and difficult decisions, but we can pray for them. And we need to do that. We need to pray for him and for his family. And I want you to pray for your youth group. I want you to pray that God would direct us. And here's what's very important to me. You know, I want you all to know the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing more important than that. But God has a very special plan for every one of your lives. And my prayer and my heart's desire is that you would find that and that God would direct you in that. And I'm sure Brother Allen and Miss Christy and Jessica and Rusty and Miss Kim will do everything they could to help you with that. Amen. One thing I wanted to announce tonight is we had a bottle drive last year and we raised $974. Now the bottle drive goes from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And we just got this back today. But this is the figure for the bottle drive for this year. $5,373. So amen. I was sitting right over here when we announced how much we took up at the concert when Miss Haley Morgan Smith came. And, you know, she's used to big crowds and big things, but I watched her eyes and she went, this is a giving, loving church. Amen. And God is in this place. Now, y'all know Celebrate Recovery's on Monday night and God's moving there. Sunday we have Wilburn and Wilburn going to be here. So it's going to be a great time. So everybody come. But thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, young people. You got anything else, Brother Allen? We'll dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. Thank you for the word that we've heard, and thank you, God, for the spirit in which it was brought. Thank you, Lord, for these youth, and God, for blessing our church, and it is you, Lord. We can't look at ourselves and say we've done anything, Lord. It's all about you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege and the honor, Lord, to be able to work with them and, Lord, with the good people at this church. Lord, we do pray for your direction because, God, we don't want to miss your will. We want to listen close to you. We don't want to be like Jonah and, Lord, to run from you, and we don't want to try to do anything in ourselves. And, Lord, we don't want to get in ourselves and get mad when things don't go our way, but we want you to guide us. And everything we do, Lord, if we do it for your honor and glory, and we do it that somebody might be saved, and, Lord, we do it that somebody might get help, and we do it not caring who gets the credit for it, God, you'll show up, and you'll do something great. And, Lord, that's what we ask you to do, and we look for you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.